there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi everyone, Mark Webber here from Red Bull Racing.
Great drive, Mark, fantastic. We've won the constructors, thank you, well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
Sebastian Vettel, you are the world champion. You are the man.
Thank you to all of you. Thanks for your support and keep following our podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Red Bull Racing Podcast. Race 2 of the 2012 campaign takes us the relatively short 6,365-kilometre flight northwest from Melbourne to Malaysia. On the southern tip of the country in the state of Selangor, Sepang is the venue for this weekend's Formula 1 action at the Sepang International Circuit. Malaysia offers a very different climate to Melbourne. It's exceptionally humid here, and as we saw today, the heavens can open at a moment's notice, meaning we get some very interesting driving conditions indeed. Away from the track, there's a whole other world beyond the circuit gates to explore, from beach resorts to tour standard golf courses, rain permitting of course, to incredible cuisine in Swiss restaurants and state-of-the-art clubs in downtown Kuala Lumpur. You'll never be stuck for something to fill those hours in between race action. On this edition of the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their race weekend. We talk movies with our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, and we catch up with our team photographer, Tomo, Christian Horner, and David Coulthard. First, Katie spoke to Ollie Shack to find out how he copes with the heat here in Malaysia.
Well, I'm here with Ollie, Sebastian's front-end mechanic, in a very nice air-conditioned room.
Absolutely. Here's probably the best way we can bleed today, is in this little air-conditioned room. But unfortunately, most of our work is in the garage, where it is extraordinarily hot. This race is probably the hottest race of the year. It's not just the heat, it's the humidity as well. I think our garage is something like 40, 45 degrees hot, and you've got the sunshine showing in. Most of the time, you know, all of our equipment we use is hot. You know, we got a boiling hot race car, we got TV screen, we got monitors, so everything that's around us kicks out heat.
And how's the team coping with that?
We obviously drink a hell of a lot of fluid. We got a really good team looking after us of what to drink at what time. It's important not just to drink water, because you need various salts and stuff in as well. So we've had people before that. You can see people are obviously dehydrated, and you kind of give each other a little nudge that remember to drink a little bit extra today. So we look after each other.
And you personally, do you mind the heat?
I would have to say I prefer a nice cold morning at Spa, where you can have a nice cup of coffee warm with you, actually. But unfortunately, we've got to do these races, and it's one of these you just got to get past.
Just talk me through what you wear on race day, because at the moment, obviously, you're in your shorts and T-shirt, which is what you've been wearing for most of the weekend. But today's a little bit different.
The race day is the one where you've got to really look after yourself, because you have to drink a hell of a lot before you go to the grid. Because first of all, it's half an hour you're standing on the grid in what's called a set of overalls, which is similar to what a driver uses. We got to use them during race day. And there's no shades or anything on the grid, and we're working flat out as well. It probably is the same as a banker sitting in a sauna with his laptop. You know, he's quite struggling to do his work. It is really, really difficult.
Because it's quite a mental challenge, I suppose, really, isn't it? You almost have to forget about the physicality of what you're going through and just really concentrate on the job.
You've got to stay calm as well. You know, you're trying to, from my point of view, put the driver in the race car, and all I'm doing is just dripping sweat from my head, literally down on him, for instance, because it is that warm on the grid. And at the same time, you've got to run up to the grid. You've got all your procedures, which everything got to be bang on time. So you've got to follow all of these, but it's very, very difficult to do, because it's sort of very, very uncomfortable.
Okay, well, good luck. Maybe take a bottle of ice cold water with you.
I think I'll do that, definitely, more than one. Thank you.
While some have been trying to keep as cool as possible in the build-up to the race, others have been taking to the track for a run. Laura spoke to Lee Stevenson from our race team to find out what it's all about.
So I'm joined by Lee from our race team. Lee, there's been lots of chatter around the track this weekend about the increased number of people that seem to be running the track as an extracurricular activity. What do you think the reason for that might be? There's lots of people saying it could be because Adrian and Christian inspired people when they ran the Silverstone Half Marathon recently.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you can't have two older guys beating us young guys. I mean, running's free. You just put a pair of trainers on, you run around the track, we G each other on and make sure we finish the lap. But yeah, I mean, we all enjoy running, we all enjoy keeping fit, and if we can do it on our spare time, then we'll try.
And there's no escaping the fact that this is a particularly hot track to run. Have you been out this weekend?
Yes, unfortunately I've been out this weekend. I went out on Wednesday. It's really, really hot. It's really static heat as well, so it's not really moving, there's no breeze or anything. But I mean, it is hard work, and a lot of people are quite chuffed once they complete a lap.
And what time did you do it?
I did it in for myself, respectable 23 minutes.
That's very good.
Two guys are beating me, but I'm just happy to finish the lap.
There's obviously quite a lot of inter-team competition.
No, as well,
between teams.
Yeah, there's quite a big competition within our team, because as soon as we get back, everyone's asking, what time do you do? And we kind of keep it secret until they run again.
Okay.
And then at the end of the weekend, we normally tell our times and we put them on runthattrack.com. We're competitive. We're working in a competitive industry, so we want to beat everyone, including other teams.
And who's the fastest overall?
He's injured at the minute, and some people might hate me for saying this, but it's Mark's engineer, Karen. He's the quickest at the minute. No one can seem to beat him. But we yet to get the drivers round, so they might be able to beat him or not.
Yeah, that'll be the real test.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of our drivers has been giving Lee a run for his money. Sebastian Buemi, our reserve driver. Laura spoke to him to talk about Malaysia, royalty and movie stars.
So, Sebastian, everyone's talking about the heat here in Malaysia and the increased demands that puts the drivers under when racing. As someone who's experienced it firsthand, is this secretly a circuit you're actually quite relieved not to be driving this weekend?
No, to be honest, I would love to be driving this weekend. I think it's really hard not to be driving as a reserve driver, you know, because you attend all the briefings and you see the guys jumping in the car. That's right, it's a difficult one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say together with Singapore, they are maybe the most difficult ones throughout the season, but still I would love to be racing.
You obviously can't be too dissuaded by the heat, because we've seen you out running the track this weekend. How did you get on with that?
It was cool. I mean, you know, I've been traveling now since 2 weeks with Melbourne and now the race here in Kuala Lumpur, so I've got to be doing a bit of exercise. And when I've got time, you know, after the briefing, if it's still possible, I take my trainer and just go for a little run.
And what time did you do it in?
I did two laps, doing one in 26 and then one in 22 minutes. But
you beat Lee then?
Yeah, I mean, that was not the objective, to go really quick, but more to train a bit, because when you do a couple of laps, you know you run 11k, which is a good distance to train.
And you're obviously very dedicated on track, but we hear you've had quite an exciting time off track here in Malaysia as well. Tell us about who you met on Thursday.
Yes, exactly. We went back on a Thursday evening to KL, and we had to meet the king. So it was a special event, and there was a lot of actors. So I got to speak to Owen Wilson. And
we heard you're quite a big fan of Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I love Wedding Crashers.
It's your favorite Owen Wilson movie.
Exactly, and it was a pleasure just to talk to him. He's a nice guy and down to earth, and it was really a good moment, so I really enjoyed it. And
were you starstruck by him?
No, not really. I mean, it was a pleasure to meet him, you know. He's a nice guy. I mean, he's like everyone else, but he just, you know, he acts really well, and it was nice to talk to him. I was not expecting to meet him, so it was really cool.
Have you seen Starsky and Hutch?
Yes.
Any plans to create the F1 version of Starsky and Hutch with him?
I didn't think about that, but that could be a good idea.
Well, we'd love to see that film. On to the race now, and Mark just missed out on a podium place while a puncture put paid to Sebastian's hopes of a points finish this evening in Sepang. Mark crossed the line in fourth position behind winner Fernando Alonso, runner-up Sergio Perez and third place Lewis Hamilton. Here is Weber after the race.
It was busy, obviously a lot of calls going on the restart, the tyres. Looks like JB went early for the inters. Difficult to know what the track needed, and then the inters come on. My inter stint was very, very, very difficult. I had very, very low rear grip, and much confidence in the car. A lot less confidence than I did in the first part of the Grand Prix before it was red flagged. And then once I got some dries on, I felt a little bit more happier, but it was all a little bit too late by then. So some of the more inspired calls up the front. Take your hat off to Fernando and Sauber, obviously roll the dice a little bit. And that was the way it went today. So mixed up race, and good to get some points, obviously. There's some great strengths from this weekend for me again. The team have been fantastic, working really hard with me, and Adrian's on the case. He knows what we need to do in the future, and all the guys back at the factory have just been incredible. They're working incredibly hard. Rob Marshall, all the guys, Peter Padromo, all them, they're working really, really hard. So thanks to them, and we know there's many more opportunities in the future.
Sebastian came 11th after a puncture in the latter stages of the race forced him out of the points positions. Here's what he had to say about this evening's events in Sepang.
I think most crucially we lost radio communication, which made it difficult in these conditions to communicate and see what's going on. Nevertheless, I think P4 would have been our maximum, and then to lose the points like that is extremely frustrating. So I didn't see much of the race, to be honest. I think it was the race, kind of race where it was most crucial to come in the right time. And I think we were generally a little bit late. We could have been earlier, but as I said, it doesn't make it easy if you have no possibility to communicate. You're always delayed by a lap, so
Kimi Räikkönen crossed the line in P5 ahead of Bruno Senna and Paul de Resta, while Toro Rosso's Jon-Erik Vergne was just in the points after finishing 8th. Behind the Frenchman was Nico Hülkenberg and Michael Schumacher in P10. David Coulthard watched the whole thing unfold from his commentary box. Katie spoke to him after the race to get his thoughts on the Malaysian Grand Prix.
David, I bet that wasn't the result you were expecting after qualifying yesterday.
I don't think anyone would have bet on that result. We're surprised Ferrari winning a Grand Prix. It seems bizarre given that they've got such a great history in the sport. But if anyone genuinely said Alonso first, Sergio Perez second, and Lewis Hamilton third, then I would be amazed. Once again, we're only two races into the Grand Prix season. How do we make any sort of sense of the form that we've seen? The only consistency has been that McLaren have locked out the front row in the first two Grand Prix. But Ferrari, off the back of a terrible winter's testing, have won this Grand Prix. Our youngest ever double world champion, Sebastian Vettel, has not had the luck at the start of this year. And then he obviously had the contact there with Carl Pequin, which led to a puncture. Mark had a steady race, if unspectacular, but nonetheless, point-scoring position. And it's a long way to go in this Grand Prix season. 18 more races, of course, so... remarkably, Fernando Alonso leads the world championship, but there's a lot of racing still to be done.
But great for the fans, though.
Yeah, Formula One is the winner out of a result like this. Do Ferrari really believe they're in this world championship? At the moment, no. Fernando said that in the press conference. It doesn't change anything. We had a great victory today. We made the best of the situation. But he believes that the world championship battle is between Red Bull and McLaren. Mercedes are showing great pace in qualifying, but they're not backing that up with race results. Where did the Sauber result come from? Sergio Perez was quick in all conditions. Is that something we can expect going forward? I'd be surprised, quite frankly. So I think the focus is still very much on the development battle between Red Bull and McLaren. And, during the course of the year, you're always going to get these unusual and spectacular results.
And you've had quite a busy week as well, haven't you?
I have indeed. I was at the Grand Prix in Australia, flew back to Valencia to do a couple of days testing the DTM, came back out to Kuala Lumpur for the Grand Prix, and I'm now heading back to Europe tonight.
The wet and humid conditions here in Malaysia gave our photographer Mark Thompson a few extra challenges to deal with on the track. Katie spoke to him to find out how the heat and rain affect his job.
Mark, you obviously carry around a lot of cameras with you, a lot of different lenses. How do you cope when there's that much rain during a race?
Basically, we have specially made camera covers for the big lenses and the cameras. But it is still difficult. Obviously, when it's torrential like that, you kind of change your cards and stuff like that, so, and when you're changing lenses it makes it kind of difficult, but you just get used to it, really. It's just one of those things. It doesn't rain at that many races, really, not the sort of rain we get here anyway, and it can make good pictures. There is a possibility that it could make, the ideal scenario would be for it to rain like it did today and then the sun come out, and that's fantastic, but that is, it's a very rare occurrence.
Did you get good pictures today?
Yeah, I got a few nice pictures. Basically trying to tell a story as well. There wasn't any nice light as such. It was very dull, obviously, also with the late start of the race. But yeah, I think so. Told the story, really. That's the thing we do. I work with two other photographers as well. So between us, we situate different parts of the track. And you've got to sort of portray what went on today, really.
And as well as the rain, when it's not raining, there's very high humidity here, and that's caused you a few issues as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got lockers in the media centre, and they obviously have the aircon on, freezing cold, and we leave our stuff in the lockers, and they turn it even colder overnight, so when we get in the morning, it's really... And, of course, then you take them out, and you go out to the open, and they just steam up, so... There was a scenario on Friday morning when there was about 50,000 pounds of camera equipment on the rooftop, flat rooftop, I hasten to add, out there trying to get conditioned before we went out onto the track.
Does that not just give all your pictures a nice hazy glow?
That's one way of looking at it. I'll have to remember that next time one's not quite sharp.
F1 photographer is obviously a job that loads of people would love to do. What would be your advice? Anyone listening wants to get into it, what would you tell them?
Not to bother, really. No. Basically, just start photographing the lower formulas, like try and photograph go-karting and sports cars, stuff you can get access to. Getting a pass for Formula One is extremely difficult. And to do that, you've really got to do like what I do, work for a major agency or a motorsport agency, and they are few and far between. And without trying to sound I don't know, big headed or whatever, the cream will rise to the top. You know, the best guys will get in those jobs. And if you really want to do it, you can do it. But it takes time. It's like being a footballer. Start a lower division club, work your way up.
So you're still getting to the cream, are you? Like the skim milk thing?
I'm like, yeah, I'm just, I've got a pint of milk just above my head, like it's pasteurised.
And then just looking at Seven Mark, when you're photographing the drivers, are they nice to photograph?
Obviously, I've worked with them for years now. I've known Mark, obviously, for a very long time, because I used to work with him when he was at Renault. But the longer you get to know them, the better it is, because then they're a lot more relaxed around you and stuff. Obviously, it does have its downfall, where Sebastian, I'll quite often look around and there's a camera gone missing, and it's not found until the end of the session, or he's taken a load of pictures with it that are not publishable, I hasten to add, so...
What's your best picture from this race, and then we'll try and find it and put it online for the viewers. Might be looking for a while, but which one would you say is your best picture?
That's quite a cool pit stop that I shot on a remote above the pit stop. That's quite nice.
So you just pressed a button.
That's the way it goes, baby.
And you'll be able to see that picture and a whole host of others on our website, redbullracing.com. It was an action-packed race in Sepang. We had a few challenges, but did take some good points with Mark finishing in fourth. Final word goes to Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
So, Christian, an eventful race today. Can you just tell us what was happening with Sebastian at the end?
Unfortunately, lapping Karthik Air in the back marker, for some unknown reason, he's decided to try and tuck in too early behind the back of Sebastian, which has caused an instantaneous puncture to Seb's left rear, and that destroyed his chance of 12 points today.
And then we heard something on the radio where he was being asked to come in and then stay out. What was happening then?
Yeah, with the damage that the tyre had done, it had wiped out all the cooling to the left rear brake caliper. So basically the calipers went into thermal runaway to a point that they were going to break. The brake was going to seize or completely fail. And from a safety point of view, we wanted to try and get Sebastian to stop. He was outside of the points. We didn't want to take any risk from a safety point of view. But unfortunately, with the radio having malfunctioned from about lap 10 onwards, he didn't hear that message and didn't see it on his pit board either. So thankfully, the car held together, you know, that last lap, but we had some big safety concerns.
And fourth place for Mark?
Fourth place for Mark was, good points for him today. It was a strange race in that I think anybody predicting Fernando to win or Sergio Perez to be the quickest guy all afternoon was quite remarkable. But hats off to those guys, particularly Sergio. And Mark was closing down Lewis in the last few laps, but fourth was the optimum.
And what's the plan now for the next 2 weeks?
We're going to be flat out, obviously in preparation for the next race in China.
Okay, well, good luck, and we'll speak to them.
Okay.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing podcast. You can check out all the behind-the-scenes pictures, plus get the latest team news at redbullracing.com. We'll be back in 3 weeks' time for the Chinese Grand Prix at the Shanghai International Circuit. Until then, take care.